Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Grigor Dimitrov, and you're listening to the Aegon Championship Tennis Podcast.
A rain-interrupted, frustrating Saturday, but Murray's still alive, and Miles McLagan thinks he'll come through.
As he's done so often, he'll find a way to get the right result.
Jose Mourinho was back to watch Murray, and afterwards, in our exclusive interview, he showed us his softer side.
I have to say, a couple of tears for Andy when he won Wimbledon.
We'll review the day, look at the weather forecast, Milos Raonic will take the Moet Moment Challenge, and Catherine and I will find out which of us is the biggest tennis fan. It's the Aegon Championships Tennis Podcast, brought to you in association with The Telegraph. Hello and welcome to the Aegon Championships Tennis Podcast, brought to you in association with The Telegraph. It is semi-finals day here at the Queen's Club, but a little bit of frustration for the ticket holders today because they got to see one good match between Kevin Anderson and Gilles Simon, which went the distance. Anderson winning in three sets, but Andy Murray and Viktor Troicki delayed by rain at three games all in the opening set. My name is David Law. Alongside me is Catherine Whittaker. And now we come back tomorrow, Catherine, on Sunday at the earlier time of 11 o'clock in the morning to resume that Murray against Troicki match, which was just bubbling up nicely when the heavens opened.
It certainly was. It's a real shame. I bet Andy Murray and Viktor Troicki are hating Gilles Simon now for clinching that second set against Anderson. If only Anderson could have got through that one in straight sets, possibly there would have been enough time to get their match played, or at least a lot more of it. So cursing Gilles Simon tonight. How dare he steal a set in that semi-final? It was bubbling along nicely. There's a bit of needle between those two. Unfortunately, there was a bit of an injury to Viktor Troicki. Very difficult to know exactly what that was. I think he thought he'd actually dislocated his shoulder. It turned out he hadn't. I think as the shock wore off a bit, it became apparent that he did have movement there. But surely that's going to stiffen up overnight, even if he didn't pop it, surely. And given that he's got a two-handed backhand, surely that's going to be an issue tomorrow.
It's certainly going to be a bit sore, isn't it, at the very least. The one thing I do think, though, is I think sometimes when you go down hard like that, the shock can be part of the problem.
Absolutely, and I think that was 90% of the problem then. It was nowhere near as bad as he feared it was when he first went down, but I think even after the shock wore off, there was definitely still something. You don't react in that way if something hasn't gone wrong. So I mean, it looked in the immediate aftermath like there was just no way that match could continue. I mean, he thought he'd popped his shoulder out of the socket. I mean, that's dramatic stuff. So certainly nowhere near as bad as initially feared, but I mean, I can't believe it's not going to have some impact somewhere.
It looked for a while as though Gilles Simon was going to do another one of his incredible escape acts, didn't it? Because he went to set down against Kevin Anderson, huge serve, big forehand, dominating the match, and then Gilles Simon just gradually grew into the match once more and made it a real fight. And the crowd were starting to get behind him, weren't they?
Yeah, huge credit to Kevin Anderson, actually, that he came through that one. Because once Gilles Simon's got a second... I mean, Gilles Simon seems to like losing the first set. It seems to make him more likely to win the match, even. So to keep his level head and come through that match. I think he did very well indeed, actually, because I was certainly, after that second set, picking Simon to go on and win it.
There was one wonderful moment with our special guest, Jose Mourinho, who you'll be hearing here very shortly here on the Aegon Championships Tennis Podcast in association with The Telegraph, when a wonderful forehand passing shot was hit by Gilles Simon, and he looked over at Jose Mourinho, the Chelsea manager. He eyeballed Mourinho, and Mourinho just nonchalantly nodded. And I thought, yeah, there's a little bit of a connection there, and Mourinho's just starting to get into the head of Simon and trying to get behind him a little bit, and there was a little bit of inspiration, but it didn't quite work out.
Do you think Mourinho was supporting Simon then?
I do, yeah.
Interesting, because when I asked Simon yesterday his feelings for Mourinho, he didn't say anything outspoken, but there was a little twinkle in his eye that suggested, shall we say, that he might not be a Chelsea fan.
Maybe not. There's plenty who are not. There's plenty who are, of course. If you are one, good for you. Anyway, I spoke to your manager today, and actually, I thought he was good fun to talk to, and very, very interesting. He really did give an insight into the mentality of champions, and it's quite clear that he wants to swap notes with Andy Murray, so that's perhaps a meeting of minds further down the road. You'll be hearing from Jose Mourinho very soon. Now, we are live at the Queen's Club, West London. This is the Aegon Championships Tennis Podcast in association with The Telegraph. Now, Catherine Whittaker, I have a new challenge for you. Let's see if you can beat me at something. I don't think you can. One of the sponsors of this tournament, BNP Paribas, has joined forces with John McEnroe, four times a champion here, to launch the We Are Tennis Fan Academy, which aims to find the world's most passionate tennis supporters. They do this by getting people to record 15-second videos which show why they should be considered the ultimate fan. You can submit the videos online at weartennis.com, or if you're on site at Queen's, got a ticket on the finals day, you can go to the BNP Paribas booth. Now, the top 100 British and French fans chosen in this video selection will go before John McEnroe for a video interview where he'll test your fandom. John McEnroe! Imagine that. Now, the question is, Catherine Whittaker, who is the biggest fan out of you and me? That's what I want to know. Make your case.
Well, I am, David. However, I'm not sure I would like to be making the case in front of John McEnroe. That sounds like the most nerve-wracking thing imaginable. However, I do have a very strong case. Wow, you're making me go first. You always make me go first with the tricky ones.
Well, do you know what happens as well? If people submit their 15-second videos and get chosen for the 100-person shortlist from Britain and the 100-person shortlist for France, you get to go to a selection process where you actually meet John McEnroe via video link. He then selects the top 50 for either country, and then those 50 get to sit courtside at the Davis Cup by BNP Paribas match between Britain and France at the Queen's Club. And they get to go bananas for 3 days.
Can you imagine how confused John McEnroe would be if you or I popped up in his in his shortlist of videos? Can you imagine his face? I hope we'd win if we did. Anyway,
let's make our case.
Well, my case is, I mean, where do I start? I first camped out at Wimbledon when I was 16 years old, and we didn't take a tent, so I quite literally slept on the street in a sleeping bag, no tent. That's
quite good.
Pretty hardcore. Then next year I camped out twice, managed to cajole two sets of friends to come with me. One set did not enjoy it at all, but I was determined to make it happen. And then I worked in the ball store as a glorified ball girl for 2 years, just because I wanted to be there. And I really was. My job was to go up to tennis players on practice courts with a bin bag and saying, can I have your balls, please?
I would suggest that was not a glorified ball girl at all. That was nowhere near as good as a ball girl.
I was a sub ball girl, yeah, but they dressed me in a ball girl at the age of 19. It was hugely undignified. My nickname at university was Tennis Cathy. Beat that. Your nickname at university wasn't Tennis David, was it? It was Tall David, maybe, or...
I'm not telling you my nicknames.
Okay, well, mine was Tennis Cathy. I took 2 weeks off. I hope none of my old teachers are listening to this, because I took 2 weeks off during my AS levels to watch Wimbledon. I was revising at home in front of the tennis.
A likely story.
But I took 2 weeks off to watch the tennis. And I mean, what more do you want? I mean, is that enough ammunition?
Did you pass your exams?
Flying colours, David, of course. I'm a good multitasker.
Well, that's where I beat you, see. Because I did A-levels and I failed them in the name of tennis, if you don't mind. I sat up all night watching Jimmy Connors against Aaron Crickstein in 1991 to 4 in the morning, and I couldn't get up for my exams the next day, so I missed them.
That sounds
that is proper fandom.
It sounds like stupidity rather than fandom.
I'm sitting here, aren't I, working in tennis? Something went right.
Yes, I'm sure that's what your parents thought at the time, David.
Yes, they were utterly disgusted, I have to say. Now, you said you slept on the streets with no tent. Did you sleep, though? That is the question. Did you sleep overnight, all night long?
Oh, yeah, overnight, all night. I don't think we got any sleep. I repeat, we were just on the pavement.
Did you see tennis the next day?
Yes, we did. We did see tennis the next day.
And once again, I won up you no problem at all, because I slept on the pavement for 4 straight days. I didn't see a ball hit because it rained every single day. And I saw, in fact, I saw one knock-up between Cedric Pealine and Byron Black. 2 minutes of tennis, 4 days of queuing in a tent. I win.
Okay, well, my secret Santa gift from my friends for my... No, it was my 18th birthday gift from my friends was a John McEnroe signed tennis ball, which was definitely a fake because it was bought on eBay. But at the time, I was delighted with it.
Well, I think we should let our Twitter followers decide this. At Tennis Podcast, who's the biggest fan out of Catherine and myself? That's the question we want to know. And don't forget, you can submit your applications if you do so by June the 26th on wearetennis.com. Who knows? You could be selected by John McEnroe. So tomorrow, Catherine, everything starts at 11 o'clock in the morning on Sunday, and it involves Andy Murray against Viktor Troicki in that resumed semi-final. And then, not before 2:25 on the centre court, it is going to be the winner of that match against Kevin Anderson in the singles final. Court one will hold the remaining doubles semi-final, and then the resulting doubles final will be played third after the singles final, so that one could be a little bit later on, but basically second after 2:25 on the centre court. So lots to look forward to if you've got a ticket for finals day, or if you're going to just camp out in front of the television. You've got a cracking day in store. Frustrating day, of course, for anybody with semi-final tickets today. It happens. It's frustrating when you don't get any or as much play as you certainly hope that you would get, but hopefully the weather will be better tomorrow. Certainly the weather forecast looks decent, Catherine.
It looks decent if unspectacular, but all we want is a rain-free day. So in that context, it looks blooming marvellous.
What we can't do at the moment is play Challenge Catherine, because we don't know who's in the final. So what we're going to do, Catherine, is on Twitter tomorrow, at Tennis Podcast, following that first men's or the second men's semi-final between Murray and Troicki, we're going to find out what you think of the final.
I would point out, though, that if Andy Murray comes through against Viktor Troicki, I believe that my lead is, as they say, unassailable.
Legends of Queens. Andy Roddick.
I think any place where you have great memories is always going to hold a special place in your heart. But you know, everything about this club and the narrow hallways and the tradition and the way they kind of celebrate their past champions here, and to be a small part of that is a pretty great feeling.
After McEnroe, Connors, Agassi, and Sampras, America.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, Tennis Podcast listeners. David here. Now, you might know that I love a bit of cooking, and I think I'm quite good at it. But if I'm honest, even I get fed up trying to work out what to do every night. That's where Home Chef comes in. Being able to put together a delicious meal without the long prep and the cook times, well, that's pretty cool. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. They have over 30 options a week and serve a variety of dietary needs, so you don't have to worry about what to make ahead of time. Not only is it convenient, but it's economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. Now, for a limited time, Home Chef is offering Tennis Podcast listeners 18 free meals plus free dessert for life and, of course, free shipping on your very first box. Go to homechef.com/tennis. That's homechef.com/tennis for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. You heard it right. America was searching for a new star. Along came a teenager from Nebraska with the fastest serve in the world. Roddick won his first title at the Queen's Club in 2003, his first of three in a row, and four in total. Here's John Barrett.
He was a great, great competitor. Wonderful server. And he had absolute confidence in it. Absolute. I mean, he would thunder down a big serve when he needed it, effortlessly it seemed. He had a very good mind in a tennis match, did Andy Roddick. He would work out that if he could hold every service game, then somewhere along the line, a chance would come along for a break. And he would go for his returns hard and just wait for that moment. He wasn't afraid to win either. He was a champion.
He's been a regular here at the Queen's Club all week, sitting courtside, and after his latest visit to watch Andy Murray in action, the Chelsea manager Jose Mourinho spoke exclusively to the Aegon Championships tennis podcast. Well, Jose, you've been a regular here the last few days. I take it you like your tennis?
Yeah, I like my tennis, and I'm still in London. My holiday starts Monday, so I'm still in London. It's a big chance to come. 10 minutes from my house. Some of the best players, and a tournament with a lot of tradition, and so happy to come.
What is it about tennis that you like?
I like everything. Unfortunately, I'm not a top player, but good enough to enjoy with some friends and with my kids. But I admire them a lot, and I think I'm always trying to learn with other sports, and I think by the psychological point of view, an individual sport like tennis, where every ball, every detail can make a difference in the game. And I'm used to say that in tennis they are taking penalty shootout all day, you know. Every ball is like for us a top decision, so they have to be really strong. And I always say in my sports, sometimes we hide behind each other. We can always find excuses for our in success, and in this case, tennis is phenomenal because the boys, they have to be really strong.
You mentioned you like to learn about other sports. Funny enough, we were talking to Andy Murray yesterday after he met with you, and he was saying one day he would love to speak to you and learn a little bit from you.
Yeah, that's why I really love to speak with them and with other sports, because sometimes when we get to top level in our own sport, there is almost a limit for us to learn more about it, and we have many times to try to go to other sports and to try to make some transfers about what they do, what they are, the way they train. And I think I'm not saying that he has something to learn with me, because obviously he hasn't, but I think it's an intelligent approach from all of us to try to make some transfers from other sports.
Can I ask, what is it like for you as a spectator watching somebody like Andy Murray? I remember when I was at the US Open, when Andy Murray won the US Open, Sir Alex Ferguson was in the crowd at the time, mm-hmm. and I got to speak to him just after Andy Murray won his first Grand Slam title, and he said to me, I was more nervous watching that than I am watching my own team. Do you get wrapped up in it?
Yeah, it's true. There are some moments when you feel some connection with, especially when you feel some connection with some players. There are some moments where you are in the game, but we are in the game, but we don't play the game. Everything is out of our hands. In football, a few things are in our hands, and also the fact that we managers, we can communicate openly with the players and with the game, it looks like we are playing the game too. Tennis is a bit different. The communication is not open. I think they have to find some little codes, some little looks to try to pass some information, but that open communication that keeps you in the game all the time in tennis is more difficult. So I'm happy that I'm not a tennis coach, because it would be really difficult for me.
Who's your favorite player?
I'm friend with Rafa for a long, long time. I coached his uncle many years ago in Barcelona. I know Rafa since he was a kid. I have great feelings for him, obviously. Andy, I met him in US a long time ago. He was coming to Cowan training ground when he was recovering from his surgery. Radek Stepanek now in the end of his career, but I'm always close to Radek. So you have obviously some special feelings with some of the guys, but you know, I admire them a lot, and so many amazing players now in the past, in my youth. I'm coming from the times of Connors and Borg and Lendl, so I love the game, and I admire really all the big guys from the past, and obviously the big guys from now, but even the ones that are outside the top 20 to top 30, I'm always trying to push a little bit for them, because, you know, it's an amazing career, all of them. I can imagine really difficult career for all of them, for sure, but they love the game, so if they love it, wonderful career.
Two final points. One, we speak during a rain delay at the moment. Andy Murray's halfway through his semi-final. Do you think he's going to win? Do you think he's going to win the title? Do you think he's going to win Wimbledon?
Well, I think this guy, Kevin Anderson, his service is absolutely amazing. And I think he's in the final. He will be fighting for the final victory for sure. Troitke is playing well. I think in the end of the day, Andy will be in the final. But I think Troitke is a difficult final for him. And Wimbledon is Wimbledon. All the big guns are there. You know, five sets, a marathon almost every day, physically, psychologically, every detail will make a difference. I have to say, a couple of tears for Andy when he won Wimbledon, for sure, because it was something that obviously meant more than anything in his career.
You shed a couple of tears for him?
Yeah, because I could imagine that for him was something from another world. I think he would change Wimbledon victory for other 10 victories in other Grand Slams. He's more than a game, he's more than a tournament. He's a break, a psychological wall that was there for every British person that loves the game. So I think that day was for sure the best day in his career, and I share that happiness from where I was, and let's see if he can do it again. But I repeat, the big guns are all there. He's one of them, but all of them will be there fighting for a magic moment.
Well, it's fascinating stuff listening to Jose Mourinho, isn't it? Wouldn't you just like to be a fly on the wall if and when Andy Murray and Mourinho do get in a room and share notes? Now, Milos Raonic didn't have things all his own way on the court this week, going out to Gilles Simon in the quarters. But let's see how he did in our Moet Moment Challenge.
Milos Raonic, your Aegon Championship Moet Moment Challenge starts now. Who won the Aegon Championships here at Queen's in 2014?
Gregor Dimitrov.
Correct. Who won it 2 years ago?
Marin Cilic.
Andy Murray. How many Grand Slam titles has Andy Murray won?
Two.
Correct. Which former Wimbledon champion did Nick Kyrgios beat at Wimbledon last year?
Nadal.
Correct. When did Boris Becker win his first Wimbledon?
85.
Correct. When you win your biggest title, what will you drink to celebrate?
Moet.
Correct. How old was Leighton Hewitt when he won at Queen's for the first time?
20.
19. How many times was Andy Roddick beaten in the Wimbledon final?
Three.
Correct. How many Queen's titles did Tim Henman win?
Two.
None. Which two players who are playing at Queen's this week reached the Wimbledon semi-finals for the first time last year?
Myself and Grigor.
Correct. And finally, what was the score in the fifth set between John Isner and Nicholas Mahut at Wimbledon?
70-68.
Correct.
Well, that was Milos Raonic in Moet Moments. Now, on finals day at the Aegon Championships, Andy Murray really has his work cut out. He has to win two matches in a single day if he's to win his fourth, a record-equaling fourth, Aegon Championships title. So surely Kevin Anderson has the edge in this one, doesn't he? He only needs to win one match. Here's Andy's former coach, Miles McLagan.
He does have a big advantage. He's played a very good match, a very tight match against Gilles Simon. Nice for him to go home, not only physically relaxed, but mentally relaxed, knowing that he's there tomorrow, whereas these two, Murray and Troitsky, have got two matches to think about, a little bit on edge. A little bit of a unique experience. It's very rare that players will play two singles matches in a day. So that is one tick in Kevin's column.
What do you think of Andy Murray's chances now of coming through against Viktor Troicki? His head-to-head is supreme, 6-0.
I think it's highly likely that he'll come through. He created a few chances, which he didn't take in the few games that we saw. But I think he's superior in a lot of areas of the game. I think in a lot of ways they're from a similar mold in terms of the way they move. They're very solid on that backhand side, and I just think that as he's done so often, he'll find a way to get the right result.
Let's assume he does. If he plays against Kevin Anderson, just break that down as a matchup.
Well, clearly Kevin's been serving phenomenally well this week. Didn't face a break point in three sets against Gilles Simon today, which is phenomenal. Andy's job will be to make as many returns as he can, just to feel big serving, just make Anderson feel a little more pressure, that he's got to play some more points on a serve, that he's not rolling through those games as quickly as he can, to make him just think that a bit of pressure that if he misses the first serve, the second serve is going to count. But and also on his own serve, to also roll through his games as simply as possible, to shift that whole balance of pressure.
Who's going to win this match, this title, Miles?
Oh, I mean, if I had to bet, I'd go with Andy Murray. You know, spent enough time with him, seen around that you've got to be, to bet against him is not a comfortable place. And I think it'll be tough for him, but it's also great preparation. He desperately wants to win this tournament. I know he told me in the past when he won it, it was one of the most satisfying experiences of his career. But it also really set him up for what's coming in the grass courts.
Well, you'll be able to find out how Andy Murray gets along on Sunday in the semi-finals and then potentially in the final. All starts at 11 o'clock with the semis and then the final not before 2:25 p.m. Follow the action on BBC television, online and on radio and also on Eurosport. This has been the Aegon Championships Tennis Podcast, brought to you in association with The Telegraph.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.